Thursday, 9:45. Philip, he sounded a bit frantic when he left a message. Incoherent, in fact. I wonder what's happened now. Ah, Philip, how nice to... Oh.
Yes, I meant to warn you. I hope it's not too much of a surprise.
Well, it is a bit... Rose,
Martha.
I wasn't expecting to...
Oh, of course you weren't. Why on earth would you expect me to turn up with my ex-wife?
Strictly speaking, I'm not your ex-wife. Yet.
Anyway, we like to keep you on your toes, Martha. You see, we, Rose and I, have decided...
Can I have a little bit less of the we? I haven't decided anything. Just to get this straight, Martha, I'm here under duress, okay?
Ooh, don't be such a grumpy little sausage.
And stop talking to me like that.
Anyway, look, let me explain, Martha. I've made a few changes since I last saw you.
Professionally or personally?
Well, I decided to shake things up a bit. Take charge of my life, you know, really get a handle on it.
Ha!
What are you laughing at?
I wasn't laughing.
Yes, you were. You went, ha!
Did I? Sorry.
Anyway, if you remember, I'd got myself in a bit of a pickle with a girl called Carmen.
Well, I don't think you described it as a pickle at the time.
And to be fair, she wasn't a girl. She was a fetus.
There's no need for that.
And not even a full-term one.
It's actually quite spiteful.
Really?
Rose, do you mind? I'm trying to be as honest as I can here.
Well, good luck. There's a first time for everything.
And sarcasm is not helpful.
Look, I think one of you needs to tell me what's going on. Why are you both here? The last time I saw you, Philip, you said the divorce was going through.
Yeah, well, I was exaggerating a bit.
Ha!
Stop doing that ha thing, will you?
Fine, my lips are sealed. Carry on, why don't you?
Well, what happened, Martha, as I was trying to say, was this. I came home from quite a late session on the shopping channel, and quite a successful one, as it happens. I sold several antique leather e-reader covers, 42 canteens of cutlery, countless cubic zirconium engagement rings, and a huge number of devices for giving yourself a shoulder massage. I mean, they're vibrators, in fact, but they appeal to people who are a little bit squeamish about buying something that actually goes under that title, you know? It's a tiny bit embarrassing. I'm thinking vicar's wives, that sort of thing. So in many ways, if you think about it, it's a public service, isn't it?
In what way?
Well, I mean, the sexual health of the nation is so important, I think. Even for vicar's wives. I mean, why shouldn't they?
I think you should stop while you're ahead, Philip.
And if I can help in any way at all, I'm not ashamed to do so. Anyway, where was I? Oh, right, OK, so I was feeling quite buoyant when I got home, that's right. I poured myself a drink, turned on the surround sound, and threw myself down on a beanbag. Then I realised I could hear something, a kind of snuffling sound coming from the bathroom. Anyway, I opened the bathroom door, and there was Carmen sitting on the lavatory in floods of tears. When I say she was sitting on the lavatory, she wasn't having a pee or anything. She didn't have her pants around her ankles. She was basically just sitting there, sobbing. I mean, you know, the seat cover was down. She was more or less using it in the way you might use a chair.
Oh, for God's sake, Philip, what point are you trying to make? That your pre-adolescent girlfriend is so perfectly doll-like she doesn't have a bladder?
I'm trying to paint an accurate picture of the situation I found myself in, that's all. There's absolutely no need to get so snippy about it. Of course Carmen has a bladder. She's a normal human being. She pees just like you and me. But I have to say she's never done so in my presence, unlike you.
What?
You see, you never really hung on to the romance in our relationship, did you? You used to sit on the lav, stark naked, peeing like a horse, and talking about what you might cook for supper, or have we paid the gas bill. I mean, what happened to the mystery? That's one of the things that went wrong with our marriage, Martha. Rose just gave up on the mystery.
Let's get back to the fetus, shall we? There she is, sitting on the lavatory, not peeing, because unlike me, she's still hanging on to the mystery.
That's not what I said. What I'm pointing out to you is that Carmen wouldn't dream of peeing in front of me. She wouldn't shave her legs in front of me either, or ask me to buy a bumper pack of tampons when I nip out to buy a newspaper. Why? Because she has too much dignity, that's why.
And mystery. Don't forget the mystery.
Philip, I do think you're straying away from the point a bit.
It's not me, it's her. I'm trying to present the facts, that's all. Carmen was sitting on the lavatory crying. She was clearly upset. Extremely. So, you know, I took her in my arms and I said, "Oh, baby, baby girl, what's up? What's wrong with my precious darling?"
"I'm sorry, I'm going to heave."
And she said, "Philippe, I love you, I love you, I love you so much.
I love you so much, I'm leaving you for an international ice skater who's much closer to my own age. Sorry, Martha, I thought we needed to get to the point before I lost the will to live."
Actually, she didn't say that. In fact, I was the one who suggested it.
"What? You said, have you ever thought you might be happier with an ice skater?"
"Oh, for goodness sake, will you stop twisting everything I say? I suggested that perhaps it might be better
the if The truth we... is, Martha, 17-month-old Carmen, has decided she'd rather take a chance with an Australian ice skater who's gay than a man way past middle age who's on the shopping channel."
"She's not 17, and he's not gay."
"He wears sequined pants."
"I think you should both calm down."
"And spangly bolero tops."
"He's a bloody ice skater. What do you expect him to wear?"
"Plus, he sleeps with men."
"What are you talking about? How do you know this?"
"Because a friend of mine met him on Gaydar, that's how." "Oh, for God's sake, Philip. She's his beard, and he's her ticket out."
"What? But why? Why would he need a beard? I mean, in this day and age..."
"He hasn't told his parents, apparently. He's 23 years old and his father's a sheep farmer. It's odd they never noticed, though. He wears false eyelashes, for heaven's sake. I'd have thought that was fairly unusual in the sheep farming community. Or maybe it isn't in the outback. Maybe it's all the rage."
"What I'm picking up from all this is that, basically, Philip, you and Carmen have split up."
"Well, I wouldn't put it quite as bluntly as that. What happened, OK, was actually quite complicated. And listen, I'm a man of the world, as you know. I realised, and I have a lot of time for Gary, that's her new..."
"Gay boyfriend."
"Look, I don't know anything about the gay aspect."
"Yes, you do. I've just told you. Which bit is it you don't understand? He's on Gaydar. He goes out with men. But according to you, that just means he's a bit what? Artistic?"
"I looked at her and I realised something profound. She was very... very young. The world was still at her feet. So, well, I gave her my blessing. I said, go forth and..."
"Run away with a gay ice skater."
"Will you shut up? I did the decent thing. I let her go. And God knows it wasn't easy, but I think I did it with grace and dignity."
"And then he phoned me up and said, do you fancy getting back together?"
"No."
"Yes. And I put the phone down because apart from anything else, I was on my way to work. I'm shooting the second series of Vole Watch, which has proved to be a huge and rather unexpected hit. And you know what I love about it, Martha? Apart from the fact that it's on primetime television and my face is all over the Radio Times."
"No, why don't you tell me?"
"I don't have to have Botox, plastic surgery or breast implants. Because I wear a wax jacket and thermal underwear, it's shot outdoors, mostly at night, and nobody cares what I look like."
"Well, I wouldn't be so sure about that."
"Sorry?"
"Let's just say I wouldn't pin your hopes on a third series."
"You're actually quite bitter, aren't you?"
"Because Carmen was offered it."
"Offered what?"
"The third series of Vole Watch. They're thinking of going for a different demographic."
"I don't believe you."
"Look, sweetie..."
"Don't call me sweetie, or so help me God, I'll have to kill you."
"The world loves young, even on Vole Watch. It's just the way it is."
"But she doesn't know anything about voles."
"Did they give you the job because you were a vole expert?" "No, of course they didn't. They gave it to you because they thought no one was going to watch it. And now it's a hit, they're going to capitalise on that by handing it over to someone fresh-faced and lovely who doesn't need cosmetic enhancement. I'm sorry, sweetie, but it's the way of the world."
"Excuse me, will you?"
"Oh, dear. That set the cat amongst the pigeons. She didn't like that one bit, did she?"
"Why did you imagine she might?"
"Well, I'm a great believer in telling the truth, Martha, as you probably noticed."
"I think that's certainly a notion worth exploring, Philip."
"No matter how difficult it may be to take. And that's all I was doing with Rose. I was freeing her from her delusions by telling her the stark and bitter truth."
"Fine. We'll look at your idea of what constitutes truth on another occasion, shall we? But for now, Philip, you still haven't explained why you and Rose have both come along here together.
Isn't it obvious? We want to patch things up.
Oh, well, it's not looking that obvious, actually.
Look, we realised we were a bit hasty letting go of the marriage. I mean, we've got two children, for heaven's sake.
Whom you rarely mention, I've noticed.
I'm sure I do. I'm sure I mention them a lot.
No, you don't.
Well, Jessica, she's 12.
She's 14, actually.
Good God, is she?
Are you okay, Rose?
Yes, I'm fine, thank you. I was just going to hang myself, but I thought, no, he'll get the house. And I haven't cleaned out the salad drawer in the fridge. There's a bag of pak choi that's been there since last summer.
We were just discussing your children.
Really? Do you know what they called Carmen when they saw her on the telly?
No. What?
Pie face.
Pie face? Why?
I imagine because they thought her face looked like a pie.
What sort of pie?
I don't know. Pork?
She doesn't look like a pie.
No, she does. She's got a big round face.
She has not.
Like a Melton Mowbray pork pie.
A pork pie is crimped at the edges.
Well, it's not an exact match. I mean, if you put them side by side on a buffet table, people with 20/20 vision would probably spot the actual pie relatively quickly, mainly because of the crimping.
Shall we try and steer the conversation back to you two, rather than Carmen, who's not actually here?
But she is, metaphorically. That's the point, isn't it?
Rose, you're here because you want to salvage something of your relationship with Philip, is that right?
No.
Which does rather beg the question...
I thought it was worth a go, that's all. We've got two children. They love him. I mean, they're young, they'll grow out of that. I certainly did. But at the moment, they'd like him to come home. Am I really going to be fired from the third series of Vole Watch, Philip?
It does look like it. I'm so sorry.
Nobody said anything to me about it.
Well, they wouldn't, would they? Look, it's probably all for the best.
What?
You know where I think your real talent lies?
Where?
In being a homemaker. In being a mother to our girls. In feeding and nurturing your family.
What?
Well, you're not a great cook, but you're not too bad, as long as you don't get over-adventurous. I think if you learnt to follow a recipe
properly... I'm counting to 10, I'm taking deep breaths, but no, it's no good.
Ow! What was that about?
I'm afraid
Ow.
That's all we've... Rose!
Ow.
Rose, no! Don't Ow. Do that to Philip! Rose! That's right. I'll see you both next week. Do you want to take a tissue?
Yes, please.
She's taking the whole box.
I'll see you next week, Philip.
Rose!